Hello and welcome to OMFIF Podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends and investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we examine Islamic private equity funds, including an overview of evolution of Islamic private equity industry. The notion of investing in line with the Sharia compliant principles has been part of the international financial discourse since the 1970s. However, the Islamic finance investment industry only started to expand meaningfully in the aftermath of 2008 financial crisis. The podcast will examine the distinction between Islamic private equity funds and conventional private equity funds, as well as assess global investor trends and the evolution of Islamic private equity globally and in the emerging markets. Last but not least, we will cover some of the trending fintech topics and the impact on the Islamic fund management, banking and financial services industries. My name is Julia Demidova, and I'm pleased to be joined by Emilio Eskartin, former Vice President and Head of Investments at the Bahrain Development Bank. Emilio, welcome.
Thank you so much, Julia, for your introduction. My name is Emilio, currently a general partner of a first game private equity fund that we are launching in London as well as in Europe. Before I joined this venture, I was head of investments and vice president of Bahrain Development Bank. Bahrain Development Bank is the government bank of the Kingdom of Bahrain. And we had three divisions. One was banking, where the 95% was Islamic finance products. The other division was advisory. And the last division I set up from scratch was investment. And we did in our investment division was basically launching private equity funds under Sharia compliance. So we basically targeted different Islamic financial institutions in the Middle East, and we had the opportunity to launch three funds in that market. And now we are in a different venture. We are raising a venture capital fund for corporates and basically early stage companies that they are also Sharia compliance in order to develop this activity in UK as well as in Europe.
Fantastic. Thank you. Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, what is the difference between the Islamic private equity fund and the conventional private equity fund? Maybe you can contrast logistic operations and distributional elements.
Starting by conventional private equity funds, basically they don't have any sort of limitation in terms of sectors and in terms of leverage companies. If we put into perspective the Islamic finance activity, we need to be careful in what sector these funds are going to be invested. Basically, the Islamic or target companies are not involved in sectors such as weapons, alcohol, adult entertainment, pork, and so on. So there is a screening sector that we have to look at. Secondly, the leverage of the companies that we are targeting cannot go farther than 33%. So I'll give you an example. If a company has basically certain restrictions in terms of financial ratios, the financial ratios to be used to screen the companies are, for example, basically the interest bearing cash and short-term investment divided by the last 12 months, or the average market capitalization should be less than one-third. The total debt divided by the last 12 months or total assets should be less than one-third. So we have certain limitations in terms of financial screening. In Islamic funds, basically, there is a governance body that is control or ruling the financial structure, which is the Sharia Advisory Board. The Sharia Advisory Board has to be a place in each financial institution, including the private equity and venture capital funds. So they basically screen these sort of investment opportunities as well. So they issue a fatwa, which is at the end is a legal opinion. And this legal opinion will be the green light in order to get the approval from this governance body. Secondly, as you can imagine, into the Islamic funds, you cannot deal with interest. Interest or riba is prohibited in Sharia law. So if you put this in comparison to the private equity activity, you can set up funds, for example, of like a mezzanine funds or debt or credit funds, and those credit funds can pay interest. But in the opposite, Islamic funds cannot do that. So there are basically certain limitations in terms of industry screening, as you said, and in terms of financial screening. And definitely the two most important things are basically the Sharia Advisory Board, which will be a government body in the Islamic funds. And the Islamic funds cannot pay interest at all, even the companies that you are dealing with. These are the more important things.
Of course. And how many people usually do you have on the Sharia board?
Well, usually I think the average is three, but you can have up to 10, 15, but the average is three. So they are people with studies in Islamic, so not necessarily with financial backgrounds, but they have to know very well the Sharia law and the Hadith and the Quran and all this sort of related with the Sharia investment activity. But the average history, it's true that there are certain differences between the Sharia scholars of GCC and the Sharia scholars in, for example, in Malaysia or in Asia. So sometimes I'd like to give you maybe a better picture. You have maybe about 1,000 or 1,000 something Sharia scholars in the world, but the total assets in the world is like over $2.5 trillion. So sometimes there's bottleneck between a decision and another, because for the Sharia advisory board of one company or one institution, it's, let's say, Sharia compliant, the product that they are selling or they are structuring. And from the other perspective, in, for example, maybe in Malaysia, they have a different opinion. So sometimes there are different point of view, because at the end, they are basically giving their opinion if the product or the financial product is Sharia compliance or not. So this is the good thing and the bad thing. So the good thing is that you have the screening level and they know very well the law, but sometimes the opinion, especially for the new products that are coming up in the financial market, they don't have a clear picture about the, if it's Sharia compliance or not.
Yes. How do you handle risk management in Islamic private equity? Usually risk is not something we associate with private equity, but as a fund manager, what are the key aspects of managing the risk?
Basically, I think I said in the beginning, you have to look at the basically the financial screen. The financial screen is crucial. If you look farther back in time, when the crisis came in the year 2008, most of the problems were basically based on the corporate governance and the over-leveraged companies, no? This is something that you don't have it in Islamic finance. Islamic finance activities or Islamic private equity funds are highly conservative, so you control the level of the leverage of the company. This is one thing. The second thing, you have the screening from the Sharia advisory board, which basically takes time to give the decision if or issue a fatwa if saying basically that the company or the product is Sharia compliant. So I really believe that from the risk management point of view, the Islamic financial institution as well as the Islamic private equity funds are much more conservative. The performance of those institutions are much better than the conventional institutions, and the risk management screening is highly, highly secure in comparison with the conventional financial institution, conventional market.
Excellent. Could you give a quick synopsis on how the Islamic private equity market has evolved over the last decade, especially in the emerging markets?
Well, the Islamic finance activity, as we know, if you look at the Islamic finance activity is presently new. The first Islamic bank was born in 1963 in Egypt. And since then, until now, the Islamic finance activity has grown at double digit, roughly 20%. I think the information I have is that this activity is growing at 17% cumulative. Most probably this activity will reach in the year 2025, $8 trillion. So I think the growing will continue in the same fashion. Basically, in Middle East, I'll give you an example. All the funds that private equity funds are setting up, focus on or targeting SMEs are Sharia compliance. But if you look at Europe, in Europe, the Sharia and Sharia funds or private equity funds and the Sharia compliance are basically popping up, whether it's in UK or even in Luxembourg. Luxembourg, I think, is one of the most important financial hubs from the Sharia compliance perspective. There are other countries, for example, France and Germany, that they are developing this activity big time. And in the north of Africa, I'll give an example, Morocco. Morocco is reaching an agreement with Islamic Development Bank in this sense. They want to launch the private equity in the north of Africa. So from this point of view, the private equity activity is growing and will continue in the same fashion in the coming years.
Fantastic. Have you seen significant appetite for private equity funds from institutional investors like endowments, sovereign funds, and other institutional platforms? And do the pension funds and endowments still undertake transactions within a Sharia-compliant framework? And maybe you can talk about who are the principal investors?
Well, definitely, yes. But we have to take into account that all of them, including sovereign wealth funds, they have as a policy, investment policy, diversify their strategies. So they invest in conventional as well as in Islamic. They don't have this sort of restriction as an Islamic, a pure Islamic institution. The pure Islamic institution is like the capital, the company act, and all the investment strategies pure Islamic. But having said that, the endowment, government, sovereign wealth funds, they have a multi-strategy point of view. So they look at the not only private equity funds or Sharia compliance investments, as well as conventional. It's true that there are countries that they want to put the most of their investments in exclusively Sharia product, but the strategy is very well diversified. All of them are very interested in order to support this activity. If you look at the Middle East, for example, Middle East is booming in terms of venture capital and technology investments. All the governments are trying to develop this sort of activity because at the end, you're investing a small amount and you're creating a lot of jobs. So with a small amount or with a fund, for example, of 100 million or 200 million, you're able to create, let's say, 2,000 jobs in the market in the coming 3-4 years. And you're able to invest a small amount in a lot of companies. But again, going back to the question, those institutions are investing not only in Islamic products and Islamic private equity funds as well as in conventional. So they have a multi-strategy coming up. So I really believe that we are able to develop this activity not only in those countries as well as in Europe or even in the United States. And definitely they will come up to support this activity pretty soon.
Of course, thank you. And you have mentioned venture capital. How do you ensure that those venture capital investments are Sharia compliant?
Well, from the venture capital point of view, there is some tricky questions regarding how you can structure a venture capital Sharia compliance fund. A conventional venture capital fund has in the beginning some sort of benefit. You have basically convertible preference shares. You have some sort of anti-dilution protections. Maybe you have, as a conventional venture capital fund, some sort of annual cumulative dividend. This doesn't happen in the Islamic venture capital fund. So there are some sort of big difference, I'd say. So sometimes when you structure an Islamic fund, you cannot structure an Islamic fund as a pure equity fund. You have to do it as a mezzanine fund, which is known into the Islamic world, diminishing musharaka fund. This sort of contract, diminishing musharaka, is a partnership. But at the end, it's like a mezzanine and you don't have interest, but you have a markup. So if the Islamic venture capital fund injects, let's say, some amount into the company or the entrepreneur agrees with the venture capital fund to pay back that much, the amount plus a markup over a period of time. So the Islamic venture capital fund reduces the risk big time and they have much more visibility in terms of returns. The returns used to be a fixed amount in terms of markup, so the profit. But from the other side, in the conventional world, the conventional venture capital fund activity is different. You invest from as an equity fund. So you invest in the equity of the company. You invest in the equity of the company and the capital of the company. And you have some sort of agreement with the company in order to reduce the exposure or the risk exposure of the VC. This is not happening in the Islamic venture capital activity. So there are some sort of differences. If you are an Islamic institution, you want to invest in a VC fund or you want to structure a VC fund under Sharia compliance, you have to do it in that way. You have to set up a fund or the recommendation or the market, what the market is doing is set up a fund under diminishing musharaka contract. There are different contracts in under Sharia compliance activity and you have to do it in that way. It's the only way to structure an Islamic venture capital fund to do it successfully if you want to do the placement with Islamic financial institutions.
And do you think Islamic private equity fund industry is sufficiently innovative? And what are the new products that have been developed?
Yeah, well, this is a good question. Islamic finance activity takes from the conventional finance or conventional banking or conventional financial institutions the good things and things that fit Sharia compliance activity. So we cannot say that it's a copy-paste or a bit copy-paste, but it takes what fits with Sharia law and they accommodate the product under Sharia compliance activity. So now there's a big question about the cryptocurrency and the blockchain technology. Definitely blockchain technology is amazing in order to help financial institutions and insurance sector. But the issue here is that if the cryptocurrencies are Sharia compliance or not. So there's a big discussion about it. If you look at the conventional sector, the conventional financial activity, doesn't matter because they are much more open to take some risks. But Islamic financial activity definitely is highly conservative and protect the, you know, the minorities in order to be well informed and to avoid to take unnecessary risks. And this is something that we'll see in the coming years because my perception of the Islamic financial activity is that they try to reduce the risk exposure of the potential investors as well as from the sponsors of this financial institution of these funds. But they are not highly innovative, but they try to do it in a conservative way. So they're highly conservative and they don't want to dive into the innovation quickly. So they do it little by little and step by step. And I think it's a good thing to reduce the risk exposure in these new ways that we are living.
Excellent. Thank you. Do you think Islamic private equity funds generally, I think with Islamic private equity funds and Islamic venture capital funds, they tend to be smaller in comparison to the conventional private equity funds. How can innovation develop the industry further and help it to grow? And can you explain why the AUM of Islamic private equity funds is so small today?
Well, the point is that since you have pictorial restrictions, since you have financial restrictions, and also definitely your market is reducing. If you have some sort of restriction, the more restrictions you have, the smaller your market is. So the point is this. Sometimes there are market opportunities or potential new markets that the Islamic Private Equity funds are not looking at, basically because they don't know very well that market, or maybe because they don't have the resources to approach those markets. It's true that sometimes the Islamic private equity activity, basically all the products are in Arabic or in English, sometimes in French. But if you look at other markets where you have the barrier of the language, definitely those markets will take time to develop this activity, basically because you have another barrier. Not only the sectorial, like, as well as the financial restrictions or screening, but you have the language, which I think is not easy for the fund managers to develop this activity in those markets. For example, Latin America. Latin America is Spanish speakers. I don't know if this activity will be in place someday, but it's basically not only because of they are not offering good market opportunities, because you have a lot of opportunities in real estate. You have a lot of opportunities in agriculture, in farming, in food security, in technology as well. All these activities is Sharia compliance, but the point is the language. So when you have another barrier on the top of that, it's going to be much more difficult, but this will be a matter of time. So at the end, the upside you have in the coming years regarding this activity is huge. I really believe that the activity will continue growing at double digit in the coming 10 years at least. So the potential is there. Definitely the potential is there. You see that only the asset under management, Sharia compliance is like 2% of the total market. So imagine the upside we have in the coming years.
Well, coming back to blockchain and blockchain technologies, do you think Sharia Board will recognize a blockchain technology in the future?
I think they will, but it's not only a question of the blockchain technology. I think it's much more related with the cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency, for example, recently there was an ICO, Asian coin offering in Dubai. It was last year, by the way. But for example, in Saudi, this sort of activity is absolutely forbidden. It's prohibited. But the blockchain technology, I think the technology is excellent. It's a matter of time. It's only my perception that this will take time, but it's a matter of time. I think UAE is supporting this activity, Bahrain as well. But the thing is that Saudi is not giving the approval, or basically they are not supporting this activity. They are much more conservative than their peers in that region. But hopefully I look forward that this activity will see the light in the whole GCC pretty soon, not only in those markets, as you said, in Bahrain and UAE, but as well as in Saudi, hopefully.
There is a big emphasis on Sharia-compliant rules and the need for greater transparency and enforcement. How far along is a market with implementation of these international standards? And does the private equity fund industry need the new standardized accounting, auditing, governance, and ethics and Sharia standards?
We have to explain firstly that we have the IOIC, which is the Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institutions, which basically is covering GCC, most of the countries. But you have another one, which is quite big, which is the International Standard Board in Islamic World based in Malaysia. There are some sort of discrepancies between both institutions, and that's why you have different opinions or different point of views from one Sharia scholar to another. If you look at the key players in the, for example, in the audit or governance of an Islamic financial institution, you have the audit and governance committee followed by the external or internal audit, whether it's the internal audit is in-house or the external auditor is like a service provider. Follow that in the Sharia advisory board, the Sharia review, the internal, because you have not only you have the Sharia advisory board, you have Sharia advisory board, it's an external body, but you have Sharia officers, which are inside the company. They are full employees inside the companies. So it's true that sometimes the difference between these two organizations, the Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institution and other bodies like in Malaysia, the IFSB or the Malaysia Islamic Financial Institutions, they have different point of views. This should be to reach an agreement, to reach the same point of view regarding one product is Sharia compliance and the other product is Sharia compliance as well. That's why that sometimes it's very tough to issue, let's say, a sukuk in Malaysia, for example, targeting assets in Turkey. And in order to sell this sukuk with in GCC with GCC investors, because you have some sort of discrepancies. So when this will be sorted in the future, definitely the money will flow pretty soon and the activity will be much more flexible and faster than it is nowadays, because the jurisdiction in a country is completely different than the jurisdiction in another country. The jurisdiction most probably in Turkey is different than in GCC. And if you are issuing a, let's say, a sukuk in Malaysia, targeting asset in Turkey, and if you want to sell the sukuk within GCC investors, this will be a problem. or this is a problem nowadays. But hopefully this won't be a problem in the future once these sort of things will be, you know, fixed and sorted out.
In this week's podcast, we have discussed the difference between an Islamic private equity fund and conventional private equity fund and the evolution of Islamic private equity fund industry. We have covered the risk management, innovation and standardization of accounting, auditing, governance, ethics and Sharia standards. In next week's podcast, we will explore part two of Islamic private equity industry, moving from evolution of Islamic private equity funds to information that investors are perhaps most interested in, benchmarking, investor returns, and the future of Islamic private equity fund industry.